From the Figure Four Online Studios in beautiful Bothell, Washington, exclusively at WrestlingObserver.com. You're listening to the Brian and Vinny Show with your hosts, Brian Alvarez and Big Vinny V.
Show. It is March 31st, 2014. Figure4Online.com/WrestlingObserver.com. Got a packed show here tonight. A lot of different shows. Ring of Honor, NXT, Total Divas. Believe it or not, Duck Dynasty is back here on the program at a pro wrestling episode featuring, of all people, Hacksaw Jim Duggan. So I'm going to talk about that here on the program today. We've got some songs. Actually, some bad news is when it comes to songs, but we will get into that in just a moment. First off, we also have to unfortunately talk about some other bad news, and as some of you may have heard, one of our excellent moderators, and a good friend, in fact,
more importantly,
Kenneth Nita is in the hospital right now, Barack on the board. Some of you probably have met him. In fact, if you've gone to, I know he's been to Vegas, and many of you have probably hung out with I don't know what to refer to him as. Most of you probably know him as Barack. I know him as Kenneth. But great guy. I know that sometimes something bad happens to someone, and everyone's like, oh, great guy. And they didn't really know the guy or anything like that. But Kenneth Nita, I can tell you for a fact, is a great guy. He's been very, very helpful in a lot of things that nobody here knows anything about. I'm not just even talking about website-related things.
No.
But I know that he's helped you.
Yes. He's a very generous and thoughtful person.
He is very generous and thoughtful. When I remember when Whitney first started Whale Scout, we threw up a little donation button on her website, and I think, like, within hours, Kenneth Nita had already donated for no reason to do so, but he went out of his way to do it. He's always been very, very helpful. If there are problems, he's jumping in to help. Anyway, it appears that he's had some sort of a virus. They think there was some sort of viral infection that went after his heart and his lungs. And I've been in contact with his girlfriend. And this is not, like, secret information or anything like that. This is information we want to get out to everybody. He's currently in the ICU as we speak. And the good news is they think that he is getting better. And it's looking like, hopefully, by this weekend, he will be able to have visitors. And Kenneth is living in, going through my text messages right now. I think, long story short, he's about an hour out of New Orleans. And so what we're going to try and do is at some point over WrestleMania weekend, we're going to try to get a whole bunch of people together to go visit him in the hospital. It looks like he'll be able to have visitors this weekend. And so we're hoping that since there's going to be, I think the last time I went up to the WrestleMania Facebook page, there were something like 120 people or something confirmed as going, only on that page. That's only the Facebook page. So there's probably way more than 120 people that subscribe to this website or are listening to this show that are going to be going to New Orleans. So what I would like I think it would be awesome, is if we got so many people going to visit Ken that they said, please, no more people coming to see Ken. So I don't know what day everyone's going to be trying to do it, but I do know that Monday, I think Ed is going to try and go out there Monday before Raw, because I don't think there's a whole lot of things planned for Monday. So maybe everybody can go out there Monday. I think Whitney's going to try and go out there on Saturday. So we're not even, we're not sure when, but hopefully everybody will be able to go out there. I've got all of the information, if I can find it here, on his, of course, my, I can't even access my own bulletin board here. But we've got all the information about the hospital that he is at, and I'm going to stall for time here as I look for it, unless Vinny happens to know.
I was not, I'm out of the loop.
You're out of the loop too?
Yeah.
I cannot even.
We can get to it by the next show.
I'm going to get onto it right now.
Okay, fine.
This is very important. It's more, believe me, Kenneth in the hospital is more important than Total
Divas.
Well,
okay, yes, that is true.
Hopefully he's listening to this right now and laughing at the thought that he's competing with Total Divas here on the program. But, okay, here we go. He is in the hospital. He is on a ventilator. And we are trying to do a donation deal. I don't think that his family is aware of this, but we're going to be trying to put together a donation deal. So his PayPal address, if anybody listening to this would like to donate anything, is notsoniceguyeddie@hotmail.com. And when Kenneth is back on his feet, I'm going to ask him what that even means. But it's not so nice guy Eddie, and that's E-D-D-I-E, so not E-D-D-Y like Eddie Guerrero, E-D-D-I-E, not so nice guy Eddie @hotmail.com. That is his PayPal address, and I know some people are already planning to send in some donations, but they are hoping that by this weekend he will be out of ICU, or at least not on sedation medicine. As noted, his girlfriend said, in fact, I've got some texts right here. I'm keeping very positive about this. It's very, very bad, obviously. But she says he's improving. He's a bit more coherent. He's on sedation medicine. And they're going to keep us updated. I do know that Buddy Wayne, I believe he also had a deal where a virus went after his heart and lungs. His heart for sure. I don't know about his lungs, but it was also a very bad situation for him. And he's doing great today. So I'm keeping positive about this. We'll keep everybody updated. I will have a lot of information in the daily update on Tuesday. So tomorrow's daily update. And if you are a member and you can't wait till Tuesday, it's in the major psychological issues area on the board, I believe is where it's been posted. We should probably move it out of that area.
For good reason, yes.
But yes, search for Good Mod Very Sick Updated. I want to thank Doc G, obviously. He is he has provided a lot of information here, and we really appreciate that. And also, he's updated me with an address, like and by the way, not so nice guy Eddie at hotmail.com. You can email there as well, but there's an actual physical address. I don't want to read it here on the air. I'm not sure I should, but it is up there on the board as well. So if you want to send him letters, you're welcome to go up there and check that out. I'll try and move it into another area and sticky it as well. But, yeah, he's going to be in Baton Rouge, and they're hoping that he will be able to have visitors. So, again, WrestleMania weekend, we'll keep everybody updated on when people are going to be heading over to the hospital as well. And his girlfriend says they're at a great hospital, and he is getting the best care possible. And also, she gave me permission, this is Doc G, to tell you guys, we will keep posted on any new developments. I asked if she needed anything from us. All she said, all she requests is that we all send him our thoughts, good vibes, and prayers for a full recovery. So once again, that's Kenneth Nita, Barack on the board. As noted, he is a he's a great guy. So we'll keep everybody updated. And big thumbs up. I don't know what else to say, but hopefully he does. He does better very soon. I guess that's the best way to say it. So if you want to join the thread, that's up there as well.
He promised to buy me a wedding gift, and he has not yet delivered. So he must get better.
Oh,
I command it.
Yeah, hopefully he's. Oh, poor Snorky.
A wailing cat outside.
Snorky is outside the door wailing right now.
She's probably sad about Ken, too.
Certainly doesn't make things any better. I will say in kind of a... I'll try to keep this lighthearted. So, Doc G gave me all the information to contact his girlfriend. Because I wanted to get more information, that sort of thing, and give my best wishes and everything. So, I'm getting ready to text, and all I could think was... Every time I go to a WrestleMania or a Vegas trip or anything like that, and I meet somebody from the board and they have their wife or girlfriend with them, it is always that awkward conversation where, like, the girlfriend says, I absolutely hate your voice, but it's really nice to meet you, because they're the ones that have to sit every night and hear, how's it going, everybody? So I didn't know exactly how to approach her, so I just said who I was, and just tried to move on quickly. So, anyway, yeah, I do apologize to her for my probably very obnoxious voice that she's probably heard about 65,000 times. So, best wishes to Ken, and we'll keep everybody updated. So, with that, now we have to talk about Total Divas and everything.
Yeah.
What a way to...
Well, let's just get started.
Let's start with NXT. We'll save Total Divas for the end.
NXT. This is like a nothing show until literally the very last move, and then it became must-see television. The theme of the show, it was all rematches from the Arrival show. So we started with Mojo Rawley versus CJ Parker. Parker still has the same hairdo, same gear, same video, same music, same dance moves, but now he is supposed to be a mean hippie.
The classic mean hippie gimmick.
Yeah. They are, went a little longer than most Mojo matches. Sold a little bit more. Mostly just both guys throwing bad punches. And then Mojo hit his comeback. The shoulder blocks. Be careful with that one. Hip attack, the sit-down splash, and the win. That was that. And Parker was throwing a tantrum afterwards, and I believe some vomit came out of his mouth.
Yeah, this the most notable thing about this in the entire show, as Dave noted the other day, is the Alex Riley full heel turn.
Mm.
Oh, my God. I liked Alex Riley as an announcer, but he became insufferable over the course of one show. Just like me and Todd on Thursday, when one show, just whole thing. This actually was worse. If you listen to the Todd show and you thought it was bad, listen to this show and listen to Alex Riley and Tensai going back and forth during wrestling matches. Infuriating.
Yeah, I noticed it. I largely drove the announcers out. That's what I have to do.
No, you got
to
listen to it. Know,
to get through SmackDown, for example. But anyway, they showed Sami Zayn getting attacked by Corey Graves last week, and they had the doctor checking him out, and he claimed he was fine. Tyler Breeze versus Xavier Woods. No one in the crowd really cared about this. Speaking of Riley, I don't know if this is part of your full heel turn comment, but he did note that Tyler had paid $25,000 on his dental work to get a perfect smile. So Woods made his comeback, prep for his finish. Breeze rolled to the corner. He grabbed the ropes to avoid a slam, and then he slipped behind and hit his spinning kick for the win. His spinning kick does look really cool. I think the fringe on the boots helps.
I should know, by the way, if you'd like to comment on anything, hashtag F4WLive, since we are live. And the only reason I bring that up is I tried to pull up my F4WLive Twitter here, and the NFL, of all things, has sponsored an ad on my Twitter.
See, I saw that, and I figured it was because they read my tweets.
Is that really what this has come to? The NFL is sponsoring an ad on the hashtag F4WLive, or mine, or whatever. It's on yours, too?
Well, like I say, I figured they were just scanning my tweets. There's a lot of NFL stuff there.
Promoted by Windows, it says. Mm. I don't even have Windows. What an irony.
None of this makes any
promoted
sense.
By the NFL, promoted by Windows, here on my Mac. On Brian Alvarez's Mac. That is the most useless advertisement you could possibly provide. Anyway.
Devin interviewed Bo Dallas backstage.
Love her.
Pardon?
Just I throw that in there.
Bo, 30 minutes before his championship rematch, was wearing a suit. Found that odd. He said Neville had never beaten him. He had won a climbing race, and this was not a jungle gym competition.
Did you talk about Tyler Breeze and Xavier Woods and I was ranting about Twitter?
Yes.
Man, the things I could say about this match.
Well, so, this is your opportunity.
Okay, listen. This Tyler Breeze is a good worker. I like him in the ring. But this gimmick, the gimmick I've never really been sold on. All right. If you're like a good-looking guy and you don't like to be hit in the face because you don't want someone to mess up your good looks, fine. I have no problem with that whatsoever. But that's not really Tyler Breeze's gimmick. The gimmick is that it's not that he's good looking and he doesn't want his face messed up because he finds himself to be good looking. The gimmick is that it's his money maker. His job is that he is a fashion model that models all over the world. And for some completely unexplained reason, he wrestles professionally in Florida. That makes the whole thing completely ridiculous. If you're a high-paid fashion model, why would you wrestle on the side? The only thing dumber would be boxing. He's chosen as a highly paid fashion model to become a professional wrestler, and then he's upset that people are going after his face. I don't like this gimmick. And I don't like that Xavier Woods shaves his whole body except the center of his chest. That's unacceptable. I'm done.
Okay. Corey Graves versus Yoshitatsu.
That's not ridiculous? I thought you'd at least confirm or deny.
He's not the first guy to do it. Yes, it's strange. I'm happy he shaved his face. He looks much better that way.
I'll make one analogy. When I go to the chiropractor, my chiropractor, I've mentioned this a million times. Every time I come in, all he wants to do is talk about Anderson Silva versus GSP. He doesn't want to know about anybody else. He hasn't heard of anybody else. He's only heard of Anderson Silva and GSP, and he always asks me when they're going to fight. And it's looking highly unlikely now, more so than ever. But the point is, many times we've discussed jiu-jitsu, and he has stated to me that he really would like to practice jiu-jitsu, but he's a chiropractor, and if anything happened to his fingers, he would be fucked. So therefore, he does not engage in the practice of jiu-jitsu. That's exactly the issue with Tyler Breeze right here. If you're a high-priced, highly paid fashion model, don't be a wrestler. Now I'm really done.
Corey Graves wrestled Yoshitatsu. Everyone in NXT needs to work on their punches. I realize there's a serious pot calling the kettle black territory, but I noticed it on the show. A lot of bad-looking strikes. So, Yoshi is like the most underrated wrestler in the entire world as far as guys who have a lot of talent that the company they works for does absolutely nothing with. He was on offense for a while, looked great. I mean, Graves cut him off, worked over his leg, put on his Lucky 13 submission, and won. And that was that.
This was when you could have a boring match with Yoshitatsu, that's not good.
Yeah. And Corey cut a promo on Sami Zayn, warning him to stay down. Because apparently that's all, what his promo, that's all of his promo is going to be that, because that's what's tattooed in his knuckles. Charlotte versus Natalya was up to this point the best match on the show. Brett was in Natalya's corner and they had matching t-shirts. Charlotte is improving quickly. Her selling is still a little underdone. She could emote more, but she's gotten much better in a very short time. Had a fun match. Natalya hooked a sharpshooter. Sasha Banks attacked for the DQ. Natty put her in the sharpshooter as well. And Brett just smiled in approval from the corner.
Yeah.
Complete confidence. She had it the entire time. That was fun.
I got to say that Charlotte is really good. But of all the people I've ever seen in the history of wrestling do that Ray Stevens, Ric Flair flip bump into the corner, she did it the worst by like 6 miles. Like, it's not even close. Like, it's not even like an argument about maybe someone else did it worse. This was the worst one I've ever seen in my life.
Yes, because it didn't. I thought she was. I don't know what she was doing. It looked like she was trying to do something else and failed.
Sure. This one needs to be removed from the repertoire.
Yeah. Adrian Neville got a promo backstage. He said Bo was delusional, but he was still a tough fighter. He was not going to let Bo take the belt away, and it was not a very good promo. So, main event, championship rematch, Bo Dallas versus Adrian Neville. First great spot was Neville's running wild at the beginning, and he goes up top to his finish, and as he is going up top, Bo rolls out of the ring into the floor, and Neville doesn't even stop or slow down. He just climbs up, and from the position he was in anyway, hits a moonsault press to the floor. That ruled. So they went back and forth for a while. Crowd was really into the near falls by the end. Bo kept going for his DDT, and Neville kept avoiding it. And then at the end, Neville hit a super kick, and then he did something amazing. He climbed to the top rope like he was going to do a moonsault. And then he jumped backwards into the ring, but did a forward flip into a somersault, into a splash for the pin. I watched this like a half dozen times. The announcers were completely dumbstruck, had no idea what to say about this. I'm sure somebody somewhere has done this before. Pac probably has done this before, but I've been watching wrestling a long time, and I don't know the last time I saw someone do something I've never seen a guy do before. I've never seen this before. This was spectacular. And thank God it was the finish.
I thought this match was great. I'm not the biggest Bo Dallas fan. And I love Adrian Neville, but my God, the promo before this match was the most awkward thing you've ever seen. And then they go in the ring, and it's like, now we're talking. This was better than their ladder match. This was the best Bo Dallas match I've seen in forever. Neville's always great in the ring. But it was like they decided to have a professional wrestling match. Forget the ladders, forget all the crap, forget the goofy gimmicks. Get in there and have a professional wrestling match. Bo was actually aggressive for once in his life. It wasn't 10 chin locks in a row. Neville's the beginning deal when he was running wild, the comeback at the end, they were both awesome. I thought this match was the only problem was the commentary again. I mean, if you'd had good commentators calling this match, then I think you would have people talking about, man, this was one of the best matches this year. But instead, it was just bad commentary. And this was an example of a commentary just really taking a match down. I think a lot of people just saw this match and have moved on with their lives. But this is actually a really good match. And with the right commentary, it probably would have been this would be the most memorable match since probably that first Antonio Cesaro Sami Zayn match, the best of three falls match. So anyway, this was awesome. Good job, guys.
That was NXT.
This made me think both guys are ready for the main roster. Usually I watch Bo Dallas and I'm like, this guy's doomed.
Yes.
This guy's going to be an undercard geek when he gets called up. But in this match here, it was like, this guy could be something. I don't know if he can do that all the time. But this was very good. I wish they would have just done this the first time and forgot. Why would you start with the ladder match and then go to this match? This match should have been first. Do the ladder match later. I did like Bo's line about how, what did he say? We're not in a jungle gym match?
It's not a jungle gym competition, I believe he said.
God, that made me want to see a jungle gym competition. That was the only problem with the promo.
Remember when Crash Holly and the Headbangers did the skit at the Fun Forest?
Oh, yeah, it was awesome.
Oh, it was great. Absolute brilliance.
It is great. All right, we got to keep moving here. Let's go to Duck Dynasty, the pro wrestling episode.
If you say so.
You weren't a fan?
I was not a fan of this show.
Yeah.
We watched about 3 or 4 Duck Dynasties about, I don't know, 6 months, a year ago. And we stopped. And so I had seen the show before. I was familiar with the concept, familiar with the characters. I don't remember it being this pointless and boring.
Well, here was the problem. I am a fan of Duck Dynasty, but even me... And even a Duck Dynasty pro wrestling episode. This was their season finale. The show is usually a half hour, which means it's, 22 minutes or whatever. If you take out commercials, 18 minutes, whatever. So because it was a season finale, they had to get 42 minutes because it's a full hour. And they did not have enough material for 42 minutes.
I don't think they had enough material for 20 minutes.
They could have done 20
minutes. This is a 10-minute show stretched out forever.
No way. If you do the stuff with the guy in the pink shirt and the wrestling ring and the wrestling match, you could have got 20 minutes out of this. But 42 minutes, no.
So they were arguing about food. They said arguments were always settled in their family with wrestling matches. The serious part of the show, and one I'm very glad they followed up on by the end, one of the guys in the show has a daughter who has had...
Jace.
Jace is the father, right?
Yes.
Yeah. His daughter has a long history of oral surgeries. That sucks.
Four total.
And going in for number five.
Yeah.
So before she went into the hospital, they wanted to give her a big party. Talked about bowling for a while. Eventually, she determined she wanted to have a whole big family party. So that's what they did. Tried to make a tent out of some tarps and ropes. This went on forever. One of the wives showed up. Didn't like their design. And then the patriarch of the family, is it Uncle Phil?
Yes, Phil. Yes, well, Phil. He's the dad.
Yeah, okay, Phil.
That's what a patriarch is.
Correct. You're right. Uncle, I was thinking Uncle Cy. I got too confused.
Sure.
Phil is the patriarch of the family. His wife's brother. No, excuse me, sister's husband. Yeah. Sister's husband showed up. He's a yuppie from Florida.
I have no idea how this guy's never been on the show before. Maybe he has, and I just didn't see the episode. This guy was awesome.
He had a pink polo shirt and khakis on. Phil disapproved of this whole operation. So, of course, when they went duck hunting, the guy in the pink shirt tagged along.
You know my Uncle Wayne, right?
Yes.
Who actually looks like one of the guys from Duck Dynasty?
A little.
He always calls me a yuppie.
Yes.
So when the guy showed up and Phil goes, it's the look at this yuppie car or something like that.
Apparently, if you shave more than once a year, you're a yuppie.
Yes. If you drive a car that is not 8 feet off the ground.
Yes.
And have ever worn a shirt with a collar on it, you're a yuppie.
If you own a comb, yuppie.
Well, I don't own a comb, so.
No. Your wife does. Anyway. Of course, this guy went duck hunting with the crew. They put him in the Jeep, drove through the biggest mud puddles they could find to get his clothes dirty. At times, they appear to be driving directly into a lake. Enormous puddles in this, wherever they were. This stuff was all fun. Unfortunately, then they had to go back to the main house where guys are still working on this damn tent. They began to talk about catchphrases.
In hindsight, I don't remember the end of the show, the tent even being up. Was it?
I don't think it was.
What a waste of time, then.
Yeah. Correct. So things went on for a while. Nothing happened. The guy in the pink shirt was in the duck blind insulting the family. They didn't like it. And then it came time. The highlight maybe of the show was when Phil told this guy maybe he could shoot a duck and he could redeem his manhood. He had just said, hey, my manhood is a... not a question. You can ask your sister.
I like this guy.
And Phil was not happy to hear this.
No.
But the other guy, who I believe is Phil's son.
Yes.
He thought it was great.
Youngest son.
Yes.
Youngest son loves to see his father bury the uncle or whoever it is. What would it be? His uncle? What would this guy be?
Yeah. Your
uncle? Yeah. He enjoys this. And so that's why he arranged for this guy to tag along. The actual best part of the show with these two guys was they keep cutting back and forth from Phil and the guy in the pink shirt going back and forth. And they're going back and forth, cut, back and forth. And all of a sudden, there's like a tenth of a second cut that just shows Phil cleaning the gun.
Yeah.
So he's going to shoot this guy before this show's over.
He might be thinking about it. So a duck finally flew by, and the guy with the pink shirt tried to shoot it, but his gun didn't work. Then another duck flew by, and he got that one. So they took the duck home to make duck gumbo, and everyone was happy. Went back to the house. The guys were still talking about wrestling. Turns out, by sheer coincidence, their favorite wrestler for all of them is Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Oh, yeah.
Amazing. By the way, true fact, my dad, his favorite wrestler also Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Well, I know what's funny about this show. We got to talk about a little bit of wrestling. This show was, every time I meet somebody who figures out what I do, they're always like, oh, do you remember such and such? And it's never somebody from today. It's always a Hacksaw Jim Duggan or a Bruno Sammartino, Ted DiBiase, Honky Tonk Man, whoever. And in this entire show, how many wrestlers were name dropped? Probably a dozen. The closest thing to a current wrestler was Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yeah.
And I was baffled even he was mentioned. No John Cena, no Randy Orton, no Daniel Bryan, no Big Dave Batista, no Triple H, nobody like that.
No Undertaker.
No Undertaker, no Shawn Michaels, no Bret Hart. The only current guy was Stone Cold Steve Austin. Everybody else, Andre the Giant, Hacksaw Jim Duggan. Who else was mentioned?
Randy Savage.
Randy Savage. The most horrendous Randy Savage impersonation you've ever heard.
Ever.
But this is what wrestling is to the vast majority of the people in this world.
So, they set up a ring. We're going to cut to the chase here. This should have taken forever. They set up a ring. They started doing what, honestly, every person in the world would do if they suddenly had a wrestling ring in their backyard. Started goofing off.
I was getting ready to make jokes. I was going to say, is this better or worse than Tulalip? And after about 30 seconds, it was like, this is way worse than Tulalip ever was.
It turns out the guys in Tulalip are trained. Who knew?
The first time I ever put you in the ring, it was better than this. Your first day of training was better than this.
Oh, I don't know.
For people that were like big wrestling fans.
I got a lot better.
You did, but this was bad.
This was very, very bad.
This was ungodly bad.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, I don't know what Daniel Bryan's doing.
Anyway, I wasn't even looking at that. Payoff to all this is they had a giant party. People, family they didn't know were showing up. And they all had duck gumbo and they're all happy. And they had a bouncy house and they were shooting interviews. And everyone's having a great time. And then it turns out they had this ring there. And they said, I bet you wonder why they had this ring. And the truck opened and out popped four wrestlers, including, yes, Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
That's right.
So, by the way, earlier in the show, they had mentioned no one was going to show up. It was so cold. So they open this truck, and out jumps Hacksaw Jim Duggan with no shirt on.
60 years old.
Yeah.
Nothing but his blue spandex shorts.
Well, not the shorts, thankfully, not spandex, but yeah.
No, they're spandex. Aren't they?
I thought he,
are they the sweatpants?
I thought he had, like, gym shorts.
Anyway.
He clearly had no shirt on. That we can agree. So they had a match. And I will tell you this, well, clearly it's not the worst match in the show, but even among professionals, this was not the worst match I saw on this night.
No. Hey, I mean, they set the bar low with that, with the Duck Clan doing their fake pro wrestling. But man, Jim Duggan looked like Shawn Michaels in there after that.
Yeah. He also won, of course. And then they all had a group prayer to wish the little girl well as she went into surgery. And they did the usual show finish with, who's the main character? Not Jace.
Not Phil. Willie.
Willie. Willie, he gives the message about the importance of family and all this. And it ends like every other Duck Dynasty episode ever. And then there's a quick little two-minute epilogue where they show the little girl going into, and more importantly, coming out of surgery healthy and well.
Yep.
That was wonderful.
That's right. I almost shut the thing off because I thought it was over, but then there was more. So thank God we watched it. Yep, went in, went out. Doctor said it was great. No problems whatsoever. So that was good. It was too long. I won't lie. It was too long. But I did get to see some horrific professional wrestling. Jim Duggan, 60 years old, still going strong. With one kidney.
That's right.
Yeah. He's a pretty amazing fella. So there you go. That's Duck Dynasty, everybody.
All right. Ring of Honor. Opening match. There's only two matches in the show. First was Brutal Burgers versus Red Dragon.
I have an answer, by the way, as to why he's called Cheeseburger.
They explained it on the show, but I'll take yours.
He needs to eat a cheeseburger.
Actually, what they said was, because I asked this very same question shortly before they answered it, and what they said was, no matter how many cheeseburgers he eats, he can't top 125 pounds.
I see, yeah. I was told it was, you know how you see the skinny girl, she needs to eat a cheeseburger?
Mm-hmm.
Eats cheeseburger.
Not sure when this clip they're showing on the network right now is, but boy, Sean had a lot of hair then. It was on TNN, if that tells you anything.
That was a long time ago.
It was a long time ago. Anyway. So, Ring of Honor, all their music is produced in-house, or at least by it's their music, so they put the name of the song and the artist up. Cheeseburger's theme song is called, and I quote, "Cheeseburger in R.O.H." They showed an angle to set this up where Red Dragon was doing an arm wrestling match with Cheeseburger. And when it looked like Cheeseburger might win, they spat water in his face and then pinned his arm to win. So they were being complete bullies and assholes. Then this match started with handshakes. All right.
Probably would have been 2003 because they're probably setting up WrestleMania, right?
Actually, you're probably right. Yes, he's in there with Jericho. So
yeah. I got to talk about
this
Brutal Bob.
11 years ago, yes.
Got to talk about Brutal Bob. What a horrible worker. No. Brutal Bob, I realized watching this show, has totally got it figured out, this longevity thing. He was so pale, he was white, which means he's not tanning, which means he's not going to age as quickly as, say, Shawn Michaels, for example. That's number one. Number two, he trains regularly. Old school, strongman training regimen. He was on the show once and he explained to me, I had just started using kettlebells and I had a 25-pound kettlebell and I was doing the kettlebells for women workout and it was kicking my ass. And Bob casually mentions that he uses 100-pound kettlebells.
That's a lot.
I nearly died. Old school training, trying to stay healthy, not prematurely aging his skin, and he's already shaved his head completely bald. So I watched this match and I concluded, when Brutal Bob Evans is 60 years old, he is going to look exactly the same. And he will probably perform exactly the same. Whereas you, Vinny, when you hit 60...
better than ever.
You'll be a very different looking man, would be my guess.
Hmm.
But Bob has figured out a way to make sure that he will never age. He's going to look the age he is now, probably until the day he dies. So good for him.
So they had this match, and the whole joke of Brutal Burgers is that Cheeseburger's very, 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 very small, so he needs help doing moves. So they rely almost entirely on double teams, and the veteran has to come in and show him how it's done. But then eventually the veteran is still at number 2-1, so he gets beat up. My point is, this is a comedy act. And this comedy act match went too long. Finally, Red Dragon apparently just got bored of things, and they knocked Bob out of the ring with a flurry of strikes. They tore Cheeseburger apart. They hit the Chasing the Dragon, which is a high kick brainbuster combo.
This is the greatest Chasing the Dragon I've ever seen.
They didn't drop Cheeseburger like straight down in his head or anything.
Well, they kind of did.
Well, they kind of on the side of his head. But the point is, Cheeseburger collapsed in a heap and just didn't move. He was done for. And they rolled him over and pinned him. And also somewhere in here, they had Ray Rowe and Hansen come out to watch. So that's the match that's going to be down the line. Ray Rowe and Hansen versus Red Dragon. The preppiest team ever against Ray Rowe and Hansen. That's going to be something.
Usually a guy gets dropped on his head with a brain buster and he does like a dramatic flop.
Yeah.
But Cheeseburger just like, it was like, I don't even know how to explain it. Like
I'll tell you what this is like.
If you dropped a sea anemone, anemone, whatever you pronounce it, and it just kind of just went, you know what I mean?
Yes.
It's exactly what his body did.
If you ever saw,
it was absorbed into the mat upon landing.
There was once a great television show called Married with Children. And they once did a joke where Al was, Al Bundy, who is now on Modern Family.
I already know what you're talking about.
He was on the roof fixing the antenna or whatever. And then you heard a scream, and they just dropped a mannequin off the roof. And the mannequin comes flying straight down onto his face, and then just collapses in a heap and doesn't move. That's how Cheeseburger landed.
And this mannequin, by the way, it may have been the same Charlie McCarthy doll that I was sent. They didn't even pretend to try to make it look like a man.
No.
It may have been a scarecrow for all I know.
It was fantastic. That's how Cheeseburger landed.
And I bet that dummy weighed more than Cheeseburger, too.
Oh, for sure. And then the rest of the show was dedicated to the main event. AJ Styles versus Michael Elvin having a great, great, great TV match. This was awesome. Adam Cole was on commentary. And two things. One, This is not his fault, but the audio this week was worse than ever. Last week, it would like go silent for a while and then go too loud for a while. This week, it was going up and down in volume constantly. Like, it would change volume several times within a single word, these guys were saying. So, and then Adam Cole really didn't have a lot to say. Kind of sounded disinterested. So, they're having this match, and it's really good. It's mat wrestling. It's very solid. It's two guys working. I mean, I say this. They were working holds, and I mean that. They were working with these. But there's not that much to it, and they didn't went to a commercial break, and two great things happened. Actually, one right before the break. Cole on commentary asked Steve Corino for some coffee, and they cut to the announce desk, and Corino, without hesitation, yanked off his headset, jumped to his feet, and trotted backstage to get coffee for the champ. That was awesome. And then it got better. Because ROH has sponsors. One of which was...
Oh my god.
Some kind of... I'm not sure exactly what they do. They get cash to people somehow. Well, sounds like a great service. But they had their message and their promo. And you know the phone number and call these guys to get money. It was all read by Jay Lethal in his gear.
Mm-hmm.
So is this shirtless man cutting the best promo of his life about how if you need cash right away, you need to call these people. Here's the number. They will take care of you. This is fantastic. Then we went back to the match. The second half was even better. A lot of Ring of Honor matches. They're really impressive. Guys work really hard. Everything looks good, but it's kind of the same pace throughout, and I get numb. This had peaks and valleys and momentum shifts. Reversals of fortune. This was awesome. So AJ hit his he's got that moonsault into a reverse DDT he's done for years. He did that here to the floor, which is the first time I think I've ever seen that. Later he tried another one in the ring, but Elgin caught him, dropped him for a tombstone. AJ came back, hooked the calf killer, and Elgin did the best counter ever. He just reached over, grabbed AJ's head by the hair, and started banging it into the mat repeatedly until AJ let go. And finally, AJ tried to springboard 450. He under-rotated, so it looked more like a leg drop. Fortunately, Elgin was not killed, and he kicked out of that, and the time limit expired. 30-minute draw! This meant there was no top contender for Cole's title, so he was happy. Elgin, I believe, challenged AJ to a rematch. Honestly, I know he grabbed a microphone, but whatever he was saying was drowned out by the sound of my own typing, and I am not making that up. So it looked like they were going to wrestle again, but Cole didn't want that, so he grabbed his belt, laid them both out. Then Jay Briscoe chased him out of the ring. Then Kevin Steen appeared and chased him through the crowd. So everyone wants Adam Cole's title. That's all well and good, but this match was awesome.
This was a great match. This was a great match, and Cole and Corino are the best act in wrestling this week. They are so awesome. And... I want to see more of it. But yeah, great match. I have nothing to add. The whole idea behind it was that it was kind of funny because I don't think they called the time. I never heard them call the time. But then, like, all of a sudden, I think it was Kevin Kelly just goes, "My God, we got 45 seconds left." And I don't think the audience knew this. I don't think there was a clock anywhere. But for some reason, as soon as there was only 45 seconds left, all of a sudden the crowd just started going nuts. For the last 45 seconds of this match. So upset when the thing was over. They found a clever way to not give people five more minutes. And obviously the story of the match was that Cole thinks there are no challengers. But instead, he's got AJ, Elgin, Briscoe, and in-shape Kevin Steen. So he's got at least four challengers. And they got everything set for the next several months. So as usual... Good, solid, basic, simple booking from Ring of Honor. I can ask for nothing more, except I really do want to see Friday's show. I'm very excited for that. Are you going?
I'm actually not going to Friday's show.
You're not?
I'm doing very little wrestling on this trip and a lot of sightseeing.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're going to regret that.
I probably will. Such is life.
Well, what are you sightseeing on a Friday night at 8?
In New Orleans?
Yeah. There ain't nothing to do there.
Oh, you're right. Town shuts down at 7:30. I'm going to have fun.
What is there at 8 o'clock that you couldn't do at 10 in New Orleans? Got you there.
Maybe you do. I'll be fine.
If anybody has a ticket for Vinny, charge him $200 just for the hell of it.
Sure.
All right, let's go.
All right. Total Divas.
What a great show.
I don't even know what to make of the show anymore.
I was told this show is absolutely hated by everyone in WWE. Not involved with it, actually. X-Pac heat. It was explained to me. I can't understand why.
All it does is make everyone look stupid.
What an awesome show.
You only get... It's almost like they just dropped the pretense of this even being a reality show at this point. They can't expect... I mean, it's always been fake. But there's no way anyone could watch this and believe this is actually happening.
Oh, yeah. It's far beyond that right now.
That's impression number one. Impression number two, Daniel Bryan was awesome on the show.
Daniel Bryan was awesome, but Daniel Bryan was the second greatest character on this show. The greatest character on this show remains Tyson Kidd.
In his one line.
He's awesome.
So, let's start from the beginning. John Uso met with Trinity. They are, of course, engaged. And they met up at the building, and he immediately wanted to fornicate with her. Right there, in front of the cameras. She wouldn't let him. Seriously.
What are you serious about? That she wouldn't let him? No, or that he wanted to hump her right there?
In front of the cameras. I thought it was odd.
No, he took her behind a curtain.
Yeah, and then he came back out, and so he said, okay, we'll do it here. He was not picky. She explained that Brian's rule about having no sex in the bus was ruining their life. But the commercial came back. Eva and Summer were driving down the road, talking about who they liked and who they didn't. Had lofty goals, including winning the Divas title more than once. So everyone got to the building in San Antonio. There was a flashback of life on the bus, where the girls were all laughing and telling jokes and making noise, and Brian came out of his bedroom, yelled at them to go to sleep so he could get some rest, and then went back into his bedroom. And Daniel Bryan apparently sleeps in a flannel shirt. So, Brie went up to ask John how he was doing. John said, quote, he's getting no cookie. So they talked about this for a while. Natalia told John to also, quote, keep the mouse in the house.
Keep the mouse in the house. Yeah.
Had a match, got back in the bus, hit the road. Cameron said this ride was boring. Brian said, well, we can talk about contemporary global issues. Instead, they decided to all make fun of Cameron's rap song. Brian was breaking down these lyrics line by line and how completely inane they are. And then Natalia began to have a medical emergency in the bathroom.
Oh, dear God.
Never a good sign. So to make a long story short.
This was actually one of those things that I believe was real. Because who in God's name could come up with such a preposterous scenario?
Don't even know. I don't know. So to make a long story short. Natalia had put Icy Hot on her back, and as the day had gone on, the Icy Hot had gotten other places of great discomfort. That was a medical emergency. So they explained this to Brian, and Brian kind of connected the dots and realized this meant Natty had pooped on the bus.
It's breaking the rules.
He was outraged. Cut a promo on her. So then the very next segment is Natalia granting her very first Make-A-Wish. I bet that little girl is going to be thrilled when she watches this show. Ecstatic. Summer went to the seamstress, tried to get some new ring gear. This never went anywhere, actually. Some very terrible dialogue here. I think the Raw writers are taking over this show. One of the Bellas tried to get on the bus, and when she got on the bus, what she found was John Uso, Trinity, and a camera person who was already there. And they were in a romantic moment. And the camera person shot Trinity with no shirt on, running to the back of the bus. As the Bella gasped in a phony manner and left. Cameraman then stayed in the bus to shoot Trinity yelling at John for a while. Brie wasted no time in going to Brian and stooging them off. And this backfired on her because the heat was not on them. The heat was on her because this whole stupid bus was her idea in the first place. Bedlez and Natalya had a match, and based on the clips we saw, this was much, much worse than the people on Duck Dynasty messing around in the ring. This was terrible. Everyone got back in the bus, talked about how horny John was. Brie revealed to everyone she had caught the two of them trying to do it. And Brian could take no more. He announced this was the last time he was getting a bus. He stormed to the back. Everyone's sitting there in awkward silence. And then, what did TJ say, Brian?
I can't remember, but I laughed so hard.
TJ simply said, well, he must be mad at you guys. I haven't broken any rules.
TJ is so awesome. His characters that he never does. It reminds me of myself, actually. That must be why I think it's the best character. Never does anything wrong. He's just along for the ride.
So
just observing the idiocy.
John pointed out that technically he had not broken the rules because what they had said was that the bus was an erection-free zone and he had not gotten an erection. This also backfired because Naomi was sitting right there and she did not take this news well.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That was her line.
That was her line. Oh, really? And she said it with complete disdain. Yes. Gentlemen, if you're ever getting a lap dance from your woman, tell her you enjoy it. Tell everyone you enjoyed it.
This whole thing is just ridiculous.
Oh, there's more to come.
Daniel Bryan on the show was incredible because you could so clearly tell. Like, Daniel Bryan, it's kind of funny because he's great at virtually everything that he does. He's kind of like Shawn Michaels in that way. He can be a great heel. He can be a great babyface. He can do a great babyface promo. He can do a great heel promo. But my God, he could not even pretend to act like he takes any of this seriously.
No.
Like, everything he's involved in this, he's just like, you can see he finds it just to be completely beyond idiotic. But he goes along with it because he's a trooper.
And he gives it his all.
When he had to come out, I mean, there was some stuff on this show that was like so ungodly bad. But because it was with Daniel Bryan, it was like really funny. Like when he had to come out and go, I'm trying to sleep. Everyone keep it down. It's like, I don't believe a goddamn word. And then there's a shot with Summer where Summer's, he's telling, oh, we're about to get to this. I'm jumping the gun.
That's fine.
But he's sitting there telling Brie, it was funny. Summer came up to me the other day and she's telling me that she really cares what I think about the rumors that she's sleeping around. And of course, you know, Brie is getting very upset that this woman is talking to her man. So Brian can't just explain this, you see. They've got to do a flashback, which on a reality show is just like, that's as ridiculous as it gets.
It really is.
A fucking flashback? So they do the flashback, and it's Daniel Bryan standing awkwardly backstage, and Summer standing there giving her wacky speech, and she has to kind of touch him. And he has to just kind of look weird and then go, okay, and walk off. And it's like, this is the phoniest.
It was so bad.
It's so bad. It's pretty much so bad it's good with Daniel Bryan. I do have to say that. I do greatly enjoy all of the stupid stuff that he's stuck doing.
So this led to Nikki saying Summer had also been flirting with Cena in the trainer's room. And finally, Brie could take no more. And she went to have a confrontation with Summer. So they had a chat as Brian and Nikki and Eva all peeked around a corner.
Yeah. Nikki's like, let's go watch.
So essentially, they bitched at each other for a while, and Brie called her a slut, and that was that. Summer went to talk to Eva about it. Brie went to talk to Brian about it. Brian did his impression of Brie cutting a promo on Summer.
That was great.
It was great. Brian's the man. And then later that night, Brian was wrestling Bray he was teaming with Bray Wyatt against the Usos in a cage match. Summer tried to talk to Brie. Brie blew her off, and then Brian got his concussion.
Yes.
Bad news. They checked Brian out, said he was safe to travel, but he needed to stay in bed for 5 days.
Oh, and by the way, I should mention when Brian was talking about the deal with Summer, he offhandedly mentioned that he doesn't like hugging. And she had kind of, you know, she did the thing. Kind of just like kind of patted him because he doesn't like to hug. Mm-hmm. That actually is true. Daniel Bryan does not like to hug, which was the whole hugging gimmick with Kane. It was a rib on him.
I see.
They were forcing him to hug all the time. But that's true. He does
that's
not like to
funny.
Hug. So if you run into him one of these days, Vinny, I want you to go try and give him a big hug.
I'll keep that in mind. So, Bree gave the "We are a trained professional" speech to the camera. Do not try this at home. Harvey Whippleman drove Brian to the airport. Everyone else went on the rest of the tour. And then things... The phoniness was cranked up to just 15 here. Natty and Eva got action figures. They looked them over. Eva was very happy they got her boobs right.
Thank God. So was I. I mean...
So Summer walks in and there's photos of Natty. And Summer says, "Boy, you look great in these photos. They must have been taken a long time ago, or the Photoshop people did a great job." Seriously. This is how dumb she's being portrayed.
You know what's funny is, like, I don't know anything about Eva Marie in real life, but I do know that, like, there are a lot of people in the company that hate her based on her persona on this show. And Summer is supposed to be the new Eva Marie. But I don't know if I can't tell if, like, Eva is either a better actor or if Eva is really a completely unlikable person. Because when I see Eva on this show, I believe every moment of it. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, I just believe that this is the most infuriating woman in the world. I would never want to hang out with her. She would absolutely drive me crazy. But with Summer, I see her as like she's a sweet girl who's being given this goofy character she has to play. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, she's doing a good job with it, but I don't believe it for a second.
Right.
I don't believe that Summer is really like this. But, like, with Eva...
Summer is an actress playing a clueless person.
Yes.
Eva is a clueless person on TV.
Oh, my God. I can't even bring myself to write down some of the lines that Eva says, but it's just... Oh, God, it is nails.
Remember the Duck Dynasty guys talking about catchphrases?
This is 10 times worse.
Eva drops catchphrases in real conversation.
Oh, God, it's just nails.
I believe it's all red all over.
Nails on a chalkboard.
Or all red all the time, or whatever it is.
It's bad.
So, yeah, Summer was very surprised to hear that Natty was offended. That Summer had said the Photoshop team had done a great job on your photo. Couldn't believe this was considered rude or unprofessional. So then they got to the next show, and Nicole gathered everyone around for a team meeting. And this is the point where this became the exact opposite of a pro wrestling show. In a pro wrestling show, you develop personal rivalries, and then you settle them with a fight. This was people developing personal rivalries and then settling them by talking it out.
Yeah, let's have a debate.
So... who started first? Summer apologized to Bree. I don't even know what for. I guess for talking to Daniel. Bree accepted the apology. Cameron and Eva talked for a while. I'm not sure who, if anything, apologized for what, but they seemed to at least get on the same page. And then Summer and Natalia blatantly both refused to apologize to each other, but both agreed to work together.
You know, the Brie Bella character, I know she's supposed to be the babyface on this show and Summer's supposed to be the heel, but at least from my perspective, she kind of freaked out a little bit about nothing, really. You know what I mean? Like, so Summer talked to Brian. Who gives a shit?
I have no idea.
She didn't try and rape him. She didn't try and throw him into a broom closet. She just said, you know, it. You're a top star, and it's important to me that you don't think that I'm a slut. That's essentially what she said to him. And this caused Brie to completely flip her lid, which I found to be unnecessary and a rather irrational reaction. And then the whole thing with Natty and Summer on this show, I still have absolutely no idea. Aside from the line about how they do a great job airbrushing, okay? I mean, that was obviously a line. But, like, other than that, I have absolutely no idea what Natty's problem with Summer is supposed to be. Has anyone explained this? It appears she doesn't like her because she's another blonde, which is the story from day one.
I don't know.
I need these answers, Vinny.
What did you come to me for?
I don't know. We're both watching the show. Did you understand why Natalia didn't like Summer?
More so than why Brie didn't like her. Because, yes, Summer insulted Natty to her face.
Well, that is true. So, there was that.
As long as I focus on that moment, I can understand it. There was a great moment. It was short, but Natty was backstage talking to Fandango. And Fandango, he was being Fandango. This is not Johnny Curtis or whatever his name was. He was being Fandango, oiling himself up, talking in the Fandango voice, constantly writhing. And she was stretching before a match. And she was bitching about Summer again, who, of course, worked with Fandango. And so he was concerned. And then Summer walked up and Natty walked out and Fandango asked what was going on. And Summer bitched about Natty. And Fandango said, look, you need to talk to her. This is my career, for God's sake.
I was really liking this show for about 40 minutes. It seemed much more positive than last week's show, but man, did it fall off a cliff. You know, it's funny and irony also that was not mentioned on this show. Summer goes up to talk to Daniel Bryan, and she's saying, you're a main eventer. I really think it's important that you don't think I'm a slut, blah, blah, blah. And this causes all of this drama and this strife, right?
Yeah.
Fucking Fandango is standing there. He takes his shirt off. He's rubbing oil all over his body right in front of Natalya. And of course, it's just like, ha ha, it's Fandango. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like typical. Where's Daniel Bryan to talk about? What do you want to talk about? He mentioned on the bus. What was a phrase?
Contemporary global issues.
Let's talk about some contemporary global issues, Daniel Bryan. How a man can be backstage rubbing oil all over his body in front of the women. And that's funny. But Summer walks up to Daniel Bryan, all of a sudden she's a slut and a whore. It's terrible. It's terrible.
So, it was time for the big finale.
Sickening.
And this is the point where Total Divas just ceased to be a reality show.
Well, come on.
No, this is the moment. Because this is where this became an oddly shot soap opera. Summer Rae had an issue with Natalya. They had heat. So she decided the wisest course of action was, on her day off, to put on the tightest dress she owned, drive to Natalya's house, and knock on the door. Natty then answered the door with a camera clearly showing the microphone or the battery, whatever it was, bulging out the back of her dress. Fake! Everything about this was fake.
The bigger issue is Natalya had a HD camera inside her house.
I suppose that's... you know what? You're right. That's on there, too. That is on there, too. So, Summer said Natty gossiped too much. Natty called her a slut. Summer slapped her and left. Natty screamed about the police. This was a very, very, very bad show.
Boy, did you rush through that. They built it up with a little more drama than Vinny built it up. Natalya bitches at her.
I can't even, but what?
She bitches back. And finally, Natalya throws out the line, which is hilarious when you think about it. You go to work and you wear that stuff with Fandango and you're basically a stripper. We're divas. We're supposed to be role models. I'm like, really? That is more preposterous than the fucking mic and the HD camera in the house. Like, Summer's choosing her own goddamn outfits, and she's dressed like a straight. It's ridiculous.
Like, she's wearing anything that more revealing than any of the other women.
That's right. And so Summer then flips out and slaps her, and a tussle breaks out. And then Natalya threatens to call the cops. She should have swept her leg, and she double-legged her and put her in the sharpshooter right there on the grass. That's what we needed.
Might as well.
Yeah.
So, like I say, this was a very, very, very bad show. Then they show previews of what happens next week. This show is not going to get better anytime soon. This is going deep off the rails.
Oh, especially this the storyline apparently is that John Cena is Nikki is afraid he's cheating on her, and so she hires a spy, and apparently they must find something that is just, you know. It's too much because this is the show where Nikki goes, fuck my life. And of course, it's going to turn out that, like, you know, it's John Cena's sister or he's training someone who's got a disability or something. He's nice. He's doing something great, but she doesn't trust him. So she is the bad guy and all. I'm sure that's where this is going.
So that's the shows we watched this week.
There was a preview somewhere. Natty is told she has to undergo correctional surgery. This is next week. Nikki feels that John is lying. And Trinity shoots a music video. Actually, that's 2 weeks from now because they're not going head-to-head with WrestleMania, believe it or not. And then the week after, Nikki and Ariane help Natty get back into dating. She breaks up with Tyson. As well as Eva has health problems and Trinity discusses getting married. So there you go. Man, I can't wait. Vinny's fallen asleep.
I have. I'm sorry. I'm done.
What are you distracted by over there?
The list on the board of dream matches that we were robbed of, which is funny because at least one person has mentioned the match that did happen.
Which one?
Chris Benoit versus Shawn Michaels.
I'm going to play a song, everybody. Then
someone
has
put up a link to the match, and it's a long one, too.
Not quite down. I'm going to play a song, and then I've got to talk about it. So stand by, everybody. Here we go.
Figure Four Online Studios, exclusively at beautiful Brian Alvarez and BigBigBigVinny.com.
Well, that would be something. Producer Brian, everyone, is in the studio as well. Give you all a thumbs up.
Ah.
All right.
Usually we do chronological order, and it must be said.
Chronological? We've never done chronological order. Is that like A to Z?
Hi, Brian.
What's up, Granny?
I'm here.
What's going on, Todd?
Not much. Just, evolution.
I was entertained. Where in the fuck is this going? All right. That right there is from Lewis, and I've got to read the email that he wrote, and then I've got to mention one last thing before we go. So, Lewis says, "Hey, Brian, dedicated to all my favorites from the site. Enjoy." Lewis, of course, is the man who did F4 Wang, as well as all of the Hood Justice songs, and he has also added, "This will be my last song drop."
No.
What?
No explanation?
No. He just says, "This will be my last song drop. Enjoy."
What?
Lewis.
Unacceptable.
We need to talk. You can't retire. You're an integral part of this program. So what I'd like everybody to do, if you happen to be listening right now, using the hashtag F4WLive, please go on Twitter and what's the word?
Beg?
Beg? Rally? Support? Lewis? We need more Lewis on this site, not less. So Lewis, now is not the time to retire. We are begging you to return, and we are asking you to reconsider. Because it would be a tragedy to not have any more of your great songs here on this program. We can't go out like this, Lewis. We need some more. So, hashtag F4WLive. Lewis, please come back. That should be the other hashtag. Because we need more great songs. Now, I wanted to end with that, but as I was playing that song, I was watching the network, and is this World Class?
This is an old episode of World Class.
Okay, is it me, or is Daniel Bryan on this show? Did you see that? Watch.
That's King Kong Bundy, Brian.
No, you idiot. Watch. Hold on. Watch around ringside.
All right.
Keep an eye out. So, getting ready to have the match right here. It'll be kind of on the bottom, sort of left-hand side of your screen.
All right.
That's some karate going on in the ring right now.
That's an old woman.
Get ready. Right there!
There's actually...
That's Daniel Bryan!
Now, there. If you go back, it's been a couple weeks now. Someone found a... In fact, you may put it in a daily update. There's a clip of like Tully and Arn in the WWF. And as they're walking by a ringside, there's a guy holding a cable. Like just a TV cable. And that guy looks like Daniel Bryan.
Wow.
So apparently he is a time... He, by the way, he's still the guy you think is at the bottom of the screen right there.
It looks a little less like him right there.
Yeah.
I never knew that about Daniel Bryan, a time traveler.
Impressive, isn't it?
It is astonishing. All right, everybody, we're going to wrap it up. Remember, I'm going to send out our best wishes to Barack Kenneth Nita on his recovery. I'll give everybody all of the information that we've been talking about here in the program. It's all the beginning of the show, but I'll give out all of the information that I have on Tuesday in the daily update. So you can all check that out on Tuesday. Hopefully we'll know a lot more by then. And like I said, around WrestleMania, we'll try and get some people together and head out to the hospital to wish him the best. So best wishes to him. And if you happen to be on Twitter as well, let's send out some big thumbs up to him and Lewis as well. Two completely different things. I can't even believe I'm mixing them together here on this program. But we would like Lewis to continue on as well. So best wishes to him as well. For whatever reason, he's decided to no longer do songs. Hopefully we can change his mind. And we'll be back tomorrow. Don't forget that our weekly call-in show has moved. It is no longer at 2 o'clock p.m. The radio show schedule is always up on the front page, but it is now a pre-show, a Raw pre-show, 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern. It is our weekly call-in show here live, and then we'll be back later on in the evening with Wrestling Observer Radio as well. So that's it for me, everybody. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you again after a while.
Bye.